So if you'll take your Bibles now and turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And my text will be found in verse 6. I've entitled this message, The Immutable Love and Purpose of God. The Immutable Love and Purpose of God. The Scripture says, For I am the Lord. I change not. And that's exactly what immutable means. It means changelessness. God does not change. I change not. And the result of this is very good. Listen to this. Therefore, because I do not change, and we're going to see how God does not change in some of His characteristics, in His nature, in His purpose, God does not change. And because of this, He says this, Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, as we entered into this building this morning, I know this. I've been filled with anxiety all week. For the last month, I've been filled with anxiety. Tell you the truth, the last 3 years have been full of anxiety for me. I have been full of anxiety and fear concerning future things. And I know this is true of all of us. If you're a believer in Christ, I know you're anxious about future things. We're always thinking about the past. And when we think about the past, we think about our sin, our inability, our failures. And so we become anxious about the future because what? We desire to be better Christians. We do. We desire that our faith should grow. Our love for Christ should grow. We desire that we should do those things that we failed to do so many times in the past. And we reflect on these things and we desire to be better. And so what do? We make resolutions. We make determinations to do better. David did that. He said, I will. He said, I will do this. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with these determinations. We should make them. We should determine to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is that not our determination this morning to worship Him with all of our heart? I know this. We want to worship Him with all our heart. I know this. We are not able to worship Him. But that does not stop us from desiring to do it. That does not stop us from trying to do this. Well, we're commanded to do these things. And so we desire, we make resolutions to be better, to do better, to stop this and start that. We do that. We think of the sin in the past and we regret those things. And what do? I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to, so we try to be better. We determine to be more zealous in our works, our good works. But no matter if we even keep these resolutions or if we fail to keep these things, I want you to know this. The desire for these things proves this. We are mutable creatures. We are changeable creatures. Very mutable. This is because we by nature are sinners. We are sinners. We change because we are never satisfied. Isn't that why you want to change? If you were satisfied, would you want to change? No. And even if you are satisfied, guess what? You're still going to change. We are sinners. We change because we are not satisfied. We change because we are not yet perfect. We as believers, we have the perfection of Christ in us, but yet we know this, the old man is still that rotting corpse hanging about our neck. And we desire to rid ourselves of him. We desire that change. So we are not perfect. You know, I hear this, a man wants to turn over a new leaf. I'm just going to turn over a new leaf. What good does that do? It's the same old leaf, isn't it? Just a different side. A lot of men try to become more holy. They realize they're doing bad, they realize they're doing wrong, and they just say, well, I need to get right. What is that but painting the tomb? What you need is new life. You need a new heart. You need something that's not that you don't have. And that is something only God can give. It is a new nature. A new nature. We, the believers, we have that new nature. And I want you to know this. That nature is immutable. That nature is holy. That nature is perfect. But because of the old, because we are still one man, two natures in one man, we are constantly warring within ourselves. And so what does this produce? Change. Change. You know this, I'm not what I want to be. Isn't that right, believer? You, what do you want to be? I want to be like Him. But praise God, I'm not what I was. I'm thankful for that change. The change He's made in my life. The change that He gave me, a new heart, a new life. Gave me faith in Christ. And even that I have that, I want to grow in those things. So in this world, we shall all face changes. Some seem good and others seem to be ill. But the Scriptures are clear that there's a time and a purpose for every season under heaven. But I'll tell you this, if you're a believer in Christ, there's one truth in this changeable, mutable world that will give you comfort. It is an anchor for your soul. It is this. You may change. The world around you may change. But God never changes. Never. Never. You know, it always concerns me. Somebody come and tell me, well, I like the God of the New Testament. I don't like the God of the Old Testament. You see, they're wrong in this. They believe God changed. Somehow He changed. No, God has always been the same as He was from eternity. God says this, I am God, I change not. Why? He's perfect. There's no need to change. He is perfect. He does not change. He says this, He changes not because He says in this, look at your text, for I am the Lord. I want you to know this, that there is only one God. One God who is the great I am. If you go over to, go to Isaiah, I'm going to have you flip a couple of places here. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 44. I'm just going to read these really quickly. But these show this. Look, in Isaiah chapter 44, look at verse 6. For thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Listen, beside me there is no God. It is though as God looked to His left and God looked to His right and says, I'm all alone. I am the only Lord God. Beside me there is no God. Look at chapter 45 and verses 5 through 8. Chapter 45 and verses 5 through 8. Here God says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. You that do not know God, listen, it's God that girds you. God gave you life. God gave you breath. It is this God that upholds you. It is this God that has sustained your life so that you had not yet fallen into hell. God says, now you have not known me. And what I sustained you. I girded you. This was true of us before we came to Christ. Isn't that right? That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and listen, create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. Let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, hath created it. What? I have created salvation. I have made salvation. Why? Because I'm the only one that can do it. I am the Lord. There is none else. Now, the gods of men are many. I want you to understand that. In this world, there are many gods. They are false gods. And this is because man by nature is a God factory. We all have our opinion of who God is. When you grew up, you had an opinion who God is. Your grandma, your mom taught you who God was, and that became your opinion of who God is. And then you formed your own opinion. Man by nature is a God factory. And so the gods of men are many. Man is an idol maker. And the gods of men are all alike. Now you can put any name you want to on that God. You can call him Jehovah. You can call him Jesus. You can call him Allah. You can call him Buddha. You can call him any name you want to. But the gods of men that the gods that men make up are all the same in this one aspect. They are all mutable. They are all changeable. They're mutable. God said to them, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as yourself." See, you're mutable. And so when man makes up a God, he makes a God like himself. Well, I believe God's like this. Why? Well, I'm like that. And so they start making up laws and rules that they think they can obey. And they say, "Well, my God made those." No, you made them. You made up your God. You thought your God was like... But God says this, "I am God and there is none else. I'm by myself." And this is how He reveals Himself in our text. "I am the only Lord." And how shall you know that your God is God? That's important, isn't it? How do you know your God is God? Listen, only if your God is immutable, unchangeable. "I am the Lord." Here's how you can tell. "I change not." I change not. The God of the Bible does not change. Any God who can change His nature, His character, or His purpose is not God. Let me say it again. Any God who can change His nature, His character, or His purpose is not God. Because if God changes, then He would not be perfect. The God of this world is always evolving. Isn't He? Haven't you seen this in modern religion? That the God of this age is evolving. Preaching is no longer a necessity, right? Why? Because we've evolved. Our God has evolved past that. No. My God doesn't change. Doesn't change His method, His means, or His motive of salvation. Man's God is always evolving with His culture. Their God is one that may love men one minute and hate them the next. The God of this culture may have a purpose, but because of man, His purpose is thwarted. That's not God. Why? Because my text tells you, "I am the Lord," and this is how you know, "I change not." I change not in character, I change not in nature, and I change not in purpose. Let me tell you a couple of things. I'm going to just deal with two things this morning for time's sake. I can go through every attribute of God and show you that God does not change in His holiness. God does not change in His singleness. God does not change in His righteousness. God does not change in His means of salvation. I want to just take two things, though, this morning. First of all, God does not change in His love. And second of all, God does not change in His purpose of salvation. Those are two things this morning. Let's look at this first one. The true God of Scripture does not change concerning His love. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. See what God says about His love. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. The Scripture says, "The Lord hath appeared of old." Where is that? How long ago is that? Eternity. "The Lord hath appeared unto me of old," saying what? "Yea, I have loved thee." And what's the duration of this love? "With an everlasting love." And what's the result of this? We see His purpose. "Therefore," here's my purpose, "with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Because I loved you," what? "I purposed to draw you." Both of these things are immutable. First, His love. Let me illustrate this, because some people think God's love is ever-changing. One day a man wakes up. One man wakes up in the morning. The sun is shining. Birds are singing. He gets out of bed and everything's going his way. All of his dreams are coming true. He wins the lottery. His job is going well. His family loves it. He goes to bed at night and he looks up and he starts to pray. He said, "Man, God must really love me." Another man wakes up and the day is cloudy. It's rainy. It's snowing. It's horrible. It's bitter. Bitter. Cold. Everything in his day seems to go against it. All of his dreams, all of his plans are collapsing. His wife leaves him. His child dies. He goes to bed that night and says, "Surely God must hate me." Let me tell you this, neither of these are true. Neither of these are true. We cannot determine the love of God or the hatred of God based on circumstance. You will never know the love of God based on your circumstance. Isn't that what happened to Lazarus? "Lord, him whom you love is sick." And what? Lazarus died. Now, did that determine that God hated him because he died? No. There were many people in Jerusalem that day that lived. Did God love them because they lived? No. That you can't determine God's love based on circumstance. And I know we're all guilty of this. I know we're all guilty of this. Because God does not change. His love does not change, nor does His hatred change. Isn't that right? The mercy and grace of God are just as immutable as the wrath and justice of God. Why? Because God said, "I am the Lord, I change not." I'm going to prove it to you. Go to Romans chapter 9. You know this well. But this shows you right off very clearly that God's love as well as His hatred is immutable. Romans chapter 9. Look at verse 11. This is speaking of Jacob and Esau, sons of Isaac. It says, "For the children, not yet being born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Now, when did God love Jacob and hate Esau? The Scriptures are clear: before they were born, having done any good or evil. Why? "I am the Lord, I change not." Now, Paul, anticipating man's anger and frustration at this, he'll say this. You'll ask me this question. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unfair? Is God unjust? What's Paul's answer? God forbid. God forbid. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Salvation is by the mercy of God. God loved Jacob and hated Esau before their birth. God did not hate Jacob and then love him. God did not love Esau and then hate him. Otherwise, God would what? Change. And what does God say? I am the Lord. I change not. I change not. Both of these children were sons of Isaac, sons of Adam, born dead in sin like you and me. We were all born in this same corrupt condition. Both men could never please God. Neither one of them by their works could ever merit the love of God. And had God not in sovereign grace loved Jacob, there would have been nothing Jacob could have done to ever deserve the love of God. Both men actually deserve what? God's hatred. If we go by merit, that's why he says it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth. It's not of works, but of grace. Neither could ever be worthy of such love or mercy. Yet God had set His love upon Jacob from eternity, and God who does not change loves all of His elect with an everlasting, immutable, unchangeable love. Now you see why, you that are believers in Christ, you see why this is a comfort. Don't you see this? If you are loved of God, that love never changes. However much God loved me from eternity, He loves me now. And however much God loved me from eternity, He will always love me. Why? I am the Lord. I change not. His love is immutable love. It is an everlasting love. It is an eternal love. Are you a believer in Christ this morning? If you believe in Christ, listen, and this is going to enter into it, because if God loved you, He purposed to save you, and you're saved because of that purpose, which is a manifestation of what? His love. How do I know if God loves me? Do you believe on His Son? That's the evidence of your election. That's the evidence of this immutable love being yours. So if you believe this morning, listen, here's your comfort. I am the Lord, the only one. There's no other God but me. And I don't change. I have loved you. I do love you. And I will forever love you. I change not. Secondly is this, the purpose of God does not change. The love of God does not change. And so then the purpose of God does not change. This is another great difference between the God of this age and the immutable God, is this matter of purpose. Purpose. Now, the God of this age has a plan. Ask any Arminian preacher, he'll tell you that God has a plan for your life. That's a common saying. God has a plan for your life. But the problem is, He cannot perform it without your consent. This is the God of this generation, friends, I'm telling you. It is. God Their God desires to save men. Matter of fact, He loves all men. But yet somehow, in the end, He hates them. Sends some of them to hell. And so their God desires to save all men, and He loves all men, and so He sent His Son in the world to die for all the sins of all men, but He still can't save them. He still can't save them is because they can resist His purpose. His purpose is to save them, but He doesn't. It's because they resisted it. They thwarted His purpose. And so when a man dies in his sins and he goes to hell, it's because that man thwarted the purpose of their God. That's their whole doctrine. This is not the doctrine of Holy Scripture. This is not the God, the living God. Why? Because our God, who does not change in love, does not change in His purpose. Whatever God purposed to do, listen, He does. Whatever God purposed to do in eternity always comes to pass in time without fail. Without fail. Let's see a couple of places like this. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Consider this morning the Word of God. As I'm preaching the Word of God to you, I want you to know this. It's going to accomplish exactly what God intends for it to. Isaiah chapter 55, and look at verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not it thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That's an easy thing to understand, doesn't it? The rain comes down, it has a purpose. Isn't that right? Rain has a purpose. It doesn't come down and go back up, does it? It comes down and it accomplishes what it was sent to do. It was sent that it may grow food, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And it does that, doesn't it? That's what it does. So God says this in verse so. Even so, just like that. Shall my word go forth out of my mouth? It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which, what? I please. What's this word going to accomplish this morning? Not what the preacher pleases. Not what you think it should. It is going to accomplish that which God pleases. And it does it every time. Paul said we are always triumphant when we preach the gospel. We're always successful. We don't feel successful. I don't think I've ever really felt successful when I preach the gospel. But we are. Why? Because God, who purposed His Word to go out, it goes out, and because He doesn't change, it accomplishes what He purposed. Now listen, this morning, if you are lost and God sends this Word to your heart and you believe, you know why? Because He purposed it. If this morning you don't hear this Word and you go out the same way you came in, why? God purposed it. Whatever God intends His Word to do, it's going to do it. Do whatsoever I please, and the thing whereunto I send it. Go to Isaiah chapter 46. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 46. I like this chapter because this God here in this chapter is showing the difference between a false God and Himself. And He ends up summing it up in this way. Will. False gods, they have eyes, they can't see, they have hands, they can't touch, they can't move, they only go where their maker lets them go. They can't tell what happened before. They can't tell you what's going to happen next. But look what God says about Himself in verse 8. Chapter 46, verse 8. Remember this. And show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Now what's the difference? Here it is. Declaring the end When did He do that? When did God declare the end of all things? From the beginning. From ancient time, the things that were not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all what? My pleasure. You see, whatever God determines to do, He'll do. Why? I am the Lord, I change. This is why when our will is crossed by God's, we're upset. God's will is like that wheel in the wheel. It went straight forward. It never turned to the right, never turns to the left. Yet, when our will is going this way and God's will goes this way, who's winning? You know who wins. God will crush your dreams. He'll crush your schemes. Why? His will, whatever He determines, is going to happen. When did He declare that? When did He determine it? From the beginning. And whatever He determined, He will not change. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Look at verse 11. This is God here talking about delivering. Now this is His purpose. You want to know this purpose that God determined from eternity, this purpose that doesn't change, this purpose of God that will be executed and in time. It's declared here. He says in verse 10, For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished, that at Babylon I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God is telling the nation of Israel, I've determined something. What? 70 years and you're going to be set free. Now what happened? In history, you can mark it down, it was exactly 70 years and the decree went forth and they were freed. Why? What God purposes, He accomplishes. He said this, so does God in spiritual matters. This is a physical thing, but it is a picture of a spiritual thing. In all spiritual Israel, to all God's elect children, to all those that God loved and purposed to save, by nature we are born what? Captives. We are born captives to sin. But God says this, even to us, I know my thoughts. Did you know the thoughts of God towards you when you were lost? No, you didn't know them and you didn't care. But God did. He said, I know my thoughts towards you. What are they? Thoughts of peace. You know, God always thoughts of peace toward us. His thoughts were always of peace toward us and not of evil. To give you something. What is God's purpose? It is to give you an expected end. To give you a sure hope. How? By a covenant. A covenant. A sure covenant. David said this, The Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. God's purpose in this covenant is ordered. And everything is taken into account, isn't it? All things are ordered. The purpose of our salvation is ordered. The means of our salvation is ordered. And the application of our salvation is ordered, isn't it? And not only is it ordered in all things, but what? It's sure. It's sure. Why? For I am the Lord. I change. My purpose to save you will not change. To give you an expected end. An expected end. The covenant given to David was concerning what? Christ. Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, this eternal covenant of salvation was purposed by God. Do you realize that the whole Trinity of God is involved in this purpose? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all in this purpose. The immutable Father, He loved you. And He chose you in sovereign mercy. The immutable Son agreed to be the surety and representative, the Redeemer and High Priest, by making an offering for our sins unto God. This was His purpose. The purpose of the Son was to what? Die for you. Remember when he was standing there and Judas came with that band and Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of that? He said, no. This is why I came. I have a purpose. My purpose is to be your representative. If you seek me, what did he say? Let these go free. See his purpose. His purpose was to be a substitute. And the immutable Holy Spirit, He purposed to call every elect sinner to faith and repentance by regeneration, by giving us a new nature and faith in Christ. Therefore, all that God hath purposed to save from eternity shall be saved in time. Why? I am the Lord. I change not. He purposed to save us by the Savior, to quicken us by the Spirit. He purposed to give us faith in the work and person of Jesus Christ. You and I were born captives to sin and Satan. We were bound in chains of sin. We could not do any righteousness. We could not please God. We could not make ourselves acceptable. So what then must the purpose of God be? If God purposed to save you, what must happen? He must make you acceptable. Make you acceptable. Go to Jeremiah chapter 30 and look at verse 11. He said, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord." What's His purpose? To save thee. "Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee and measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquities, because thy sins were increased." You see our incurable wound? God says, "I intend to save you, but let me tell you something about yourself. Your wound is incurable." Have you found that out about yourself? That your wound of sin is incurable. If God is ever going to save you, He has to show you this. That you cannot save yourself. Look at verse 17. Here's God's purpose. How is He going to save us? "For I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion whom no man seeketh after." You see, God says this, "I have a purpose. Your wound's incurable to you, but it's not to me. I'm going to heal your wound." Verse 22. I'm sorry, look at verse... How is He going to do this? Look at verse 21. "And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me?" You know who that governor is? Christ. How are your wounds going to be healed? By this governor who approaches God in your place. By one who brings an offering to God that is acceptable. When Jesus Christ came into this world as a man, He came as a representative man, your representative. He came and died in your stead. He came and accomplished righteousness in your place. And then what? He approached unto God with His own blood. And what did God say? And therefore, God can say this to us in verse 22, "You shall be my people, and I will be your God." Oh, friends, Jesus was always the purpose of God for our salvation. He was anointed of God to be the servant of God, and by His obedience, He honored the law of righteousness in our stead. The Father purposed that Jesus Christ should be made an offering for sin, that He should bear our sins in His own body, and that He should be made a curse for us, and that He should tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. And what is the result? He shall see of the travail of His soul and be satisfied. Now listen, if God is satisfied with Christ's offering, how long was He satisfied with that offering? He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." God was always satisfied with the offering of Christ. When Christ purposed to give the offering, God was satisfied. Matter of fact, you can see in Ephesians 1 that we were accepted in the Beloved before the foundation of the world. Scripture says God saved us, and then what? He called us. He called us. God accepted that one offering for Christ, and He was satisfied. His immutable justice is satisfied. His immutable law is honored in our stead. So then, this is the will of the immutable God, that all the Father gave Christ then must and will come to Christ. This is the purpose of God, the immutable purpose of God, that everyone Christ died for, everyone the Father loved, will come to Him. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said? "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." I am so thankful that I have come to Christ. Have you come to Christ? Who did that? You or Him? Whose purpose was it? You willingly came to Christ, but really, whose will was it? It was the will of the immutable God you came to Christ. It was the fulfillment of His purpose. "I believe in Christ, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, that He is my righteousness, my wisdom, my sanctification and redemption." Why? Because God purposed Him to be such. Of God are you in Christ, who of God has made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I declared in this morning hope for sinners. If God ever changed, there would be no hope. There'd be no certainty, would there? But I tell you, there's hope for sinners because God doesn't change. Listen to conclusion. "I am the Lord. I change not in love. I change not in purpose. Therefore," what? There's hope. "You wicked sons of Jacob are not consumed." There's hope for sinners. There's hope for forgiveness. There's hope for eternal life. I tell you, if believe on Christ now. You that believed on Christ a minute ago, believe on Christ now. Isn't that what we do? Faith is ever present. We always are believing on Christ. Why? Why do you continue? Why is it that we're still here? "I am the Lord. I change not." Therefore, your faith will continue. "And you sons of Jacob will not be consumed." You see, the God who purposed to save us is still saving us. And He will save us. what Peter says, you are kept. You are kept. By what? Power of God. The power of an immutable, unchangeable God. Therefore, you have this hope. You will not be consumed. Isn't that a good hope? Isn't that a good... Oh, isn't that just take the burden off? If you die right now, you will not be consumed. Now what? How do you know that? Well, listen, my God doesn't change. He's loved me from eternity and He will always love me. His purpose was to save me. Christ accomplished that salvation for me. The Spirit of God applied that, and the Spirit of God keeps me. So when will He change His mind about you? What if you were God? I change my mind about myself all the time. God doesn't. No matter what happens in time, God doesn't change. And none of His people shall be consumed. All that God loved and purposed to save, He will. Praise be to God who purposed and accomplished and applied our salvation. He who loved us still loves us. He who made us righteous will never impute our sins unto us. He who promised to bring us to Himself will not change. He will bring us to glory. He will raise us up incorruptible, undefiled, to be with Him forever. Why? I am the Lord. I change. We change all the time. But I'm so glad my salvation does not depend on me. It depends on an immutable, unchangeable God. Therefore, I know this. I will not be consumed. But rather accept it. I pray God will give you comfort in this. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, immutable, sovereign, holy, and just God, I thank You, Father, for Your divine love and mercy, Your immutable love and purpose that You have accomplished in Christ and that You have applied by Your Spirit. It is my heart's desire this morning, Father, that You would even apply it to Your people who are lost, that You might call them today, that they might believe, that they might find comfort in the immutable counsel of the living God. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us of our unrighteousness through the blood of Christ. Bring us back again to worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.